Espiza? You're going to wait a day?
Yeah, we think he's going to be fine.
So he just was just resting him today kind of thing?
No, we had him checked out today. Okay. Yeah, so it's, but he's getting on the plane.
We don't anticipate any, there's not nobody's been fast forwarded. I mean, we talked to Mason Appleton, he doesn't anticipate that he's, unless you're going to tell him something today, that he's probably not going to play.
Neither Bork or Appleton will play tomorrow. But Bo got through practice today. Bo, you'll get through practice today. If he's through his morning skate, we'll consider him for the lineup for tomorrow.
It was our first time to speak with Mason Appleton since the unfortunate incident in Regina. You know, he used the word frustrating several times, as we can appreciate. Your take on that, you were very candid when it happened. You told us how it happened and you know, just how he's handled the, because that was a big game to miss, and also a whole lot of chunk of time to miss for a kid that's playing his first full season. Your take on how he's responded?
Worked really hard. The tough part for Mason is explaining it to people. May have not seen it. Did you get hurt in a game? No, not really. And that happens, right? You see guys step off a curb or have those kind of off ice injuries that are hard. He was fine. Like, I'm not saying it was easy for him. Everybody that has these injuries, they go through a little bit of depression within the first 10 days, right? That's such a long time off. So we'll talk to most of these guys, had this conversation with Dmitry Kulikov. That's what you got to watch for. It slows your healing down. Make sure you're around the players. Make sure you feel as much as you can. You're a part of it, but you're not in the locker room before the games. It's not the same after the games. But Mason, back to his first year here, each year came to training camp and tested very, very well, which is the lead into when he's off, he works. So as soon as he got a little bit more of a green light to get back going, he went after it, and he's fit and he feels strong. I'd want to get anybody within reason of the situation at least one full practice. So Anaheim, he would be the guy we might consider for Anaheim, but he's gonna have to get a full practice and look right and all those other things.
Last one on that same subject. So how did you like his camp? What did you like early about him in the season? And what does he add to a fourth line situation that maybe...
Yeah, you know what? Mason has always been a guy that built over the course of the year. Like, his training camps never, you know, he wasn't in a situation where he was stealing somebody's job in training camp, but he'd just get a little stronger. And there are players like that. I thought he was starting to come kind of just before the injury, but we had some competition there. We were healthy at the time. There was competition for the job, and there will be some when he comes back, but we expect him to be able to move the speed, right, would be the first thing that we were looking for from him, and he can make some plays. But the fourth line as it is now has played hard and battled hard and been good in their own end and blocked shots, so that would be the starting point for the guys that we bring back in. They got to be able to do that.
What catches your attention with adding Nick Shore to the lineup?
Well, he's defensively smart. He's a positionally smart player, so he can figure out, you know, that kind of good pro. He knows where he's supposed to be on the ice. The addition there, he has hands to make a play. So it's not just off the glass and out, and he has an awareness of the ice around him. So you want more than just banging the puck out all the time, because we'll put wingers out there that can handle pucks. Mason's coming back. Gabriel's coming back. The guys who've played here can do it. We want somebody that can move the puck a little bit from that middle ice position. He's over 50 on the faceoffs, and he kills penalties. So all of the things that we're looking for. And then it's depth. Like, when Letestu went down and then Little went down, and these were going to be long-term, we've been looking to add a centerman some depth there for a while. Nick was the first one that we came up that we thought made some sense for what he can do for us.
Does he come to Dallas? Does he meet you? When does he get integrated?
Be in Dallas tonight.
Tomorrow?
We'll make that decision tomorrow.
So, Paul, does this obviously gives you an opportunity to rework that fourth line a bit with guys coming back and bringing Shore in. Do you want to do that quickly?
No, not yet. I want them to kind of earn their way back in. I like the way our fourth line's played in terms of how hard they've played, right? These guys have battled hard, and they're, you know, you've got two really young, kind of inexperienced guys that are just getting better, right? They are much better now, offensive zone. Little thing, a guest scores his first goal, Lewis hit a couple points. Logan's been hard, the hard kind of conscience of the line in terms of talking to him on the bench. So I'm not, it's not first in as soon as a guy's healthy just yet, but you know, we brought those other players into camp, and we've picked Nick up for a reason. We think they can do some things.
Does the addition of Shore necessarily mean that Gustafson is world junior bound?
No, it's not a guarantee. Again, we'll have 13, if not counting the soon to be healthy players, we'll be at 13. So there's no imminent decision there. A long list, Sarah. The consistency has to be the first one. All goaltenders have tough nights in the net when they're fighting the puck, and if their numbers are really good, they figure out a way to survive that game. We haven't seen that game very much. Like, he's been very consistent also in how he looks in the net. So that would be the consistency of the quality of his game. More specifically, his experience now in finding pucks, how he's positioning his body in the net, fighting for the puck, staying up longer, you know, tracking through traffic better. And then there's a certain calm about him. Like, I think it comes with experience, right? There's a big difference between any man at the age he was 3 years ago and now with his experience. There's a calm in the net. He's having more fun. He can have more fun in practice. There's the confidence that comes with the way he's played. So he's got a smile on his face a little bit more, which is good for him. He looks as confident as he should be, not overconfident, not arrogant. His work ethic and practice is right on. You know, he's still barking at himself if he gets beat on one he doesn't like, but he's looks like he's turned into a darn good pro goalie.
Especially with the changes that you guys have had to deal with, whether it be injuries or otherwise, or just kind of trying to find that identity and consistency
right
in your game as a whole. What has it meant for this group to be able to have him?
So everything, right? Tap him in the pads and say, hey, thanks, instead of sorry about that, how'd that one get you? But there's a you could wonder there's a style of play change in front of him as well, and it would be, I guess, foolish to think that Connor isn't the key piece to that. He's stopping all these pucks. That's why we're happy with the style of change. But these guys battle hard in front of the net, right? They clear the front of the net. They box out harder. They compete on those loose pucks. They're built to do that. And for a goaltender like Connor, he just needs another half second to see a puck, right? Like, he's very agile, so he can get to where he needs to get to. All he needs is a half second more of a read when that puck goes across. And these guys box out hard, and they play hard net front. There seems to be, this is working. I'm going to say most of it's Connor, but a big chunk of it is that back end. I'm not calling him inexperienced, so call him competitive. That's a competitive back end. They compete hard in front of him, and he likes that style.
And I'm going to go, so just one last quick. What determines whether the Jets want Gustafson at the World Juniors or with the Jets?
It wouldn't be one factor, Paul. There's a bunch of things to consider. Where we think Brian Little's at, Mark Letestu's at, how long that is, and we're going to have a bunch of center icemen here. Are there enough minutes on this guy's game to make him better? Priority one is he doing things to help the Winnipeg Jets win right now? That's what all 12 forwards need to be doing. So all of those things will have to get factored in to make a decision. Clearly, we like this guy an awful lot, see him as a long-term Jet. But we don't want to stunt growth either when we think he would. If we think he'd be a whole lot better playing way more minutes, the World Junior, that's not really on my radar. It's the more minutes, more touches. Would that make him better? The progress rate that we've seen out of him, it's good. Those are the things we'll have to weigh here. And we have been. Like, we've been talking about this right from day one. You've got a 19-year-old that can't go to the American League and has to go back. If he goes back, what do you do with him? He played good. We got better. So we've hung on to him.
If you ask the players in the room, they'll answer, and I don't mean this in a way that there's not ownership of everyone in this team, but they'll say this is Blake Wheeler's team.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of really young guys who are stepping into bigger roles every year and evolving, and a few, if not a bunch of those guys, probably want to get to the point in their career where they can say, either here or somewhere else, this is my team. So As long as Blake is here, he's going to be the man. How do you go about fostering that in those players, though, getting them to that point where they be ready to assume that?
So there are guys that are the man, as you said, in the room, and sometimes it's for good reason, sometimes it's not. They just run the room. Blake runs that room for the right reasons, is that there isn't anybody yet that can touch him on that, those intangibles, right? How hard do you want to practice today? How long can you practice hard? How consistent are you with your work ethic in the game? So he is the example for the coach. All you got to do for me, kid, is work as hard as that guy. There's the speech, right? So he's earned that. But just take the minutes out from last night's game, and that would be my answer to the question, right? So he didn't play 28 minutes last night, and everybody else waited till he got off the ice. He played the same number of shifts Mark Scheifele did, but about 3-4 minutes less. There are other really important players put in really important roles, and you can tell sometimes by zone starts or matchup, he gets the heavier lifting at times, which he takes, which he's already, I don't care if my points get cut in half. We just got to win. So you can have lots of room for people at the table. Lots of room and important roles. Connor Hellebuyck feels like he's the man in the net, and he is, right? So there's lots of important roles here. But Blake, part of what he's gracious enough to allow all that to happen. He's standing up cheering for everybody on the bench, right? He's, how many of you watched those guys in practice today? That was an awesome display. Right, they are so fast, and they're starting to feel it, and they got up and down the ice, and all of a sudden now Nicky, there's a different player, and I loved Nicky's game a month ago. I thought he's having, for the year, he's been great. He's getting to another level. Jack Roslovic gets up the ice now way different than he did at any point in his career. It's a full sprint just to keep up to the guy, and then he gets there and realizes, hey, I can full sprint and keep up to the guy and still make a play, and changes who they are. So there's lots of room for everybody at the table. Blake's not looking to eat first.